Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
I was telling my boys in the car, as if even my staff in the office 2 days ago, as if somebody said I'm doing morning ritual, people will confirm it. I was telling my staff. And in the car, I was telling my boys, I said, even you that are here, Steph, I'm suspecting you that you may say yes, we suspect this man. Because there are a lot of mysteries when it has to do with God. If hustling is the key to genuine prosperity, that means it's not God. Hustling is not the way. There's a better way. Not hustling. Hustling is labor with sweat. Wow. It's not hustling. That's why Abraham, when the king of Salem said, Abraham, take the money, take all the things and give me the goods. Abraham said, no. Take the money. I have lifted up my hands that I will not take anything, lest any man say he has made me. The day men begin to say they made you, you become a slave. You'll be a slave to your makers. Sit down, let me talk for a few minutes so that we can go home. Stretch. Matthew 9. Stretch. In a few minutes, I'm done. Matthew 9. So don't talk to anybody again. Just keep looking to the front. Matthew 9. Look at a few verses. We read from verse number 14. You have a very fantastic media here, so I'm always confident of them. And verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples, they don't fast? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But don't worry, the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then they shall fast. Are you ready? They came and say, why is it that all of us are fasting except your disciples? And they are the ones succeeding at making it. Why are we fasting and you're on and not fasting? And Jesus said, don't worry, the time is coming when they will fast. They never see problem when we make them fast. That is the interpretation of this verse. Say, leave them alone. When John go mature, they go fast. Follow me, I will soon close you, so don't laugh too much. You. That is the meaning. If you check other, he said, leave them alone. When I am removed from them, they will fast. Nobody will tell them. In fact, they won't even know they are fasting. They will just discover they fasted for this. Leave them alone. You see, I'm in here for a miracle tonight. Somebody's story must change permanently. Yeah. So you see, he said, don't worry. Don't worry. They will just flow into it. There are situations that make you to do certain things you didn't plan to do. And when God wants to bless a man, he makes him to do things that look stupid. I don't know how you imagine Hannah. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 11. Hannah for long was crying. God, everybody have children. My mates have children. I don't have. Even the one my husband married after me has given birth to 7. Within 5 years. How many years is that one? She has given birth to 7. I've not given birth to 1. Watch this. And every year, they go for cure for desert. Every year. But they came this year that Hannah went. At that time, she had been pushed to the wall. God, if you don't answer me, I'm tired of the reproach. I'm tired of the shame. I'm tired of people asking me, when are we coming for naming ceremony? I'm tired of people asking me, when are we going to have invitation for your wedding? And this very particular year, she came again for cure for desert places. And then, can I have somebody here? Come on. Come on, baby, come on. And then she came as usual. Knelt down and was praying. One prayer, the same prayer. She was praying. Church closed. She didn't know. She was praying. Church closed. Reverend, close service. People have gone home. The pastor was just going out to check windows. Whether they are all locked. He saw a woman. And in process of checking windows whether they are locked, he saw some alcohol there and himself took some. So he thought, since church has closed, everybody has gone home. Only drunkards like him remain in church. So he came out. He looked at the woman. The woman was busy talking without talking out. She has reached her wit's end in business, in marriage, in finances. Every year she has been coming. But this year, she said, God, you can't pass me by. She took a decision before she left home. I know you're my husband, but when we get to church, everybody should bear his name. When we get the miracle, you get your own, I get my own. When we get home, we rejoice. But in this year, something must happen. And she was crying. And the priest, goddess, she was not even aware the priest was around. Until the priest touched her, he said, you are drunk again. And she said, no, my Lord. I'm only pouring out my heart. Now hear me. She has been stretched, but not broken. There is something you must understand. Anybody can push you to the wall. Somebody said, if Nigerians are pushed to the wall, they want to break the wall. But don't break the wall. When you are pushed to your wit's end, look up. Man of God now said, he said, I'm only praying in my heart. And he said, go. And the Lord grant thee your request. And she got... get up now. And she got up and smiled. Came to her face and she went home. Watch this. And she went home. Ladies and gentlemen, others have gone home. She remained there. She was not conscious of her environment. She was consumed by God who will answer her need. She wasn't looking back. Otherwise, she would have known that church has closed. She should go home. But her mind was not there. She was lost. In fact, they probably would have locked her up in the church. She knew why she came to church. She knew why she's there. Some came for their business. Some came because of their marriage. Some came for their finances. Do you think it was the word of the priest that made her to become pregnant? No. The word of the priest only confirmed what heaven has done. She has travailed and prevailed with angels like Jacob. When Bible says, we can do all things through Christ, it's simply saying there is no limit to elasticity. No matter how stretched you may be, there is an answer. I cannot tell you something. Until you are stretched, you won't get the best. Not every woman can give birth to a Samuel. One woman came and told me that she gave birth to plenty of children so that they can help her in her old age. In the process of giving birth to children to help her, she now has 14. And they all abandoned her and left. Are children dividends of democracy? Yeah, to be stretched is when God looked at you. See, listen, gentlemen. You see, I don't know whether you're on that topic, stretched. Look at Job. Job, how his faith and trust in God was pushed to the wit's end. Even the wife came and said, Job, my dear husband, this sickness, even before it killed you, why not curse God and die? Imagine your wife giving that kind of advice. You may think she's a wicked, she's not wicked though. It's love. Is it not better you die and go and rest in the Lord? Than to be here, all of us are carrying water and cleaning you up and this sickness. So she was pitying her in the sickness. And now look at Job. But that was something that came to stretch and to try Job's trust in God. He said, curse God and die. He said, honey, even call her honey. Trust God and die. He said, no. Woman, I won't. And at the end of the day, Job, you see, is it everybody God can say, Satan, have you seen my servant Job? There are only two people in the Bible that I saw that were like that. One, Nathaniel, when he said, behold, an Israeli in whom there is no guile. Then Job, have you seen my servant Job? He said, I've seen him. Is it not because you have blessed him and protected him? He said, touch him and see if he will not slap you. And Satan came and began all the misbehavior. And in all that one that the enemy does, Job didn't change his mind on God. Didn't change his mind. Some people wait for God to pray for a husband 1 year. He didn't come. He went and collect anybody. He's after his wearing trousers. And when he start beating you, you come back to church. So I thought he was a Christian. Job said, I will not change my mind. His friends came and began to mock him. Job said, I will not change my mind. Job, elder in the church, look at you. All your business gone. Why not come and try something? It's not a shrine. It's not a little daughter. It's a church too. They use Bible and other things. They use Bible and other things. Upgrade. Jesus plus. And Job said, no. His best friends. Job said, no. I've been on this journey for too long. I have tested this God. I have seen him faithful. That's why David said, though I walk through the valley, I won't change my mind. I won't change my mind. Am I talking to you here? I won't change my mind. I have seen this God. It may push me to my wit's end. I will have lost everything. The same God will bring them back. I've come too long. I've come too far to change my mind on God. They look at the three Hebrew children. Three young men. And the king came and built a statue, an image. And he said, everybody in the land should bow down and worship this image. Whoever will not bow down and worship this image, we shall put him in what? In the fiery furnace. Three young boys. Daniel 3:16. Three young boys. They stood up. And they went to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, what did they say? O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Let me tell you what it means. O king, we're not going to answer you. We won't answer you. What do you mean? We won't answer you. Let me tell you, king, if you think your eye will be this walking stick they gave you as staff of office will intimidate us, you are joking. We won't answer. And let me tell you, even if this God will not save us, what else do you call stretch? Even if this God, you see, we are not serving him to save us. We are serving him because he's God. Even if this God will not save us, king, we won't answer. We won't bow. It's too late. Even if he will not, yet we will not bow. In case he refused to save us, we won't bow. And God refused to save them. Are you aware he didn't save them initially? He didn't. Because God will have made Nebuchadnezzar to fall down. That was what they were expecting. That once they say so, thunder, boom, Nebuchadnezzar. Or he break one leg to show them we are men of God. But if God trusts you, he will stretch you. It is not everybody he allows to go through those processes. King, we'll bow down, sir. Were there no other pastors there? They were. They bow. They were brethren there, bro. They were sisters. Bishop, sis. Hey, sis. They say, look. Are you the only Christian? Let's join them. After now, we can repent tomorrow. Let's join them first. These three young men say, no. No. Even if we will not. Ladies and gentlemen, what is the reason why you are here? Even if he will not, we will not bow. You say, you mean it? Oh, you think I'm joking? Increase the fire 7 times. He said, king, fire. Even the God we serve, his name is fire. Fire. He's fire. I told somebody threatening people. I was in a place and one irresponsible recalcitrant was threatening people with thunder. So people were running away from him that he can call thunder to strike anybody. So I went to him. I said, I learned to call thunder on people. As if you call thunder now, it is me who will appear. I said, because I'm thunder. You were looking at me. I said, try it. Only me you will see. Command thunder, I will appear. The man said, you try me. I said, don't be trying. Do them. Now me go appear. Why are you threatening with thunder? Carry tortoise shell, snake shell, and begin to make noise. It's the natural run. One native daughter was calling me colleague in Abeokuta. Can you imagine? Because he has met all manners of irresponsible pastors. So he thought all of us go to native daughter. He said, my colleague. I said, who? Every day you see heavy, heavy park cars parked there consulting this native doctor. So I called that came and I said, look, I'm not your colleague. We are different. You better pack up from here now. We can't sit together in the same area. That's why you're calling me colleague. So one day, I was coming to office and I saw many cars parked there and he had sat down. Tortoise, snail shell, all manners of thing. He combined both Indian and African one together. He had drawn the altar. Nobody entered there because it's holy. So I said, today, this man must know whether we are colleague or not. I just started coming. He said, Alpha, whatever, I'm calling. He didn't answer because he was concentrating, consulting. I just went straight, stood in the middle of the shrine. Boom. He saw the leg. He looked up. he said, my colleague. I said, He said, Pastor, you have spoiled my shrine. I said, that's why I came here. And by the next day, he packed out. He packed out. Look, even if this, listen to me, if God really loves you, he will stretch you. Because that is where he brings the best out of you. Now, the other word for stretch is Gethsemane. Squeezed. Stressed until you cry, Abba, Father. Until he got to Gethsemane, he didn't become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Until three Hebrew children went to the fire and were not born, they didn't become governors. So when you are stretched and you are not broken, you come out a hero. That's where God look at you and bam, whatever you are looking for, he releases it. Not men before they are stretched, they've compromised it. And he took them, put them in the fairy furnace. He put three of them there. And the three men were walking around trying to investigate what is in the fire. And when the king looked, he saw the fourth man. The fourth man doesn't come until you are stretched. And that is where the answer you are looking for is placed. Not in your comfort zone. Not in where men are clapping for you. It's when men reject you, when men abandon you. They call you a fanatic for Jesus. I was telling them a story as we were coming in the car. Because there are too much tension in Nigeria. So I don't want them to drive me into the bush. I have to tell them to make them laugh. I first of all asked them, have you people eating? They say, no, sir. I say, I have a problem. The only way for them to drive straight was to be telling their story. I said, and I told them about a place where my wife was a teacher. One principal had the effrontery. Because we started the scripture in a fellowship in the school. Over 500 young people were coming for the fellowship. The principal got angry. Went to say, Mr. Chidume, you must close this scripture in a fellowship or else you are transferred to a village where there is no water, no road. And she came back and innocently told me. I said, what kind of story is that? Everybody's wives have been moved from village to city. You want to move my own from city to village? What kind of story is that? I said, did you tell him you are Apostle Achidume's wife? He said he knows. I said, go and remind him. Go and remind him. I was telling my boss, I said, I've changed. I said, go and remind him. He went. The man got angry, abused her the more. Say, if you don't close it, I'll go to the TSMC Commission, you'll be transferred. I said, tell him I give him 3 months to apologize to you, or else you'll be transferred to a place where where he will use all means of transport, including canoe, to get there. She went and told the man. The man got angry and abused her. She came and said, no. I reduced it from 3 months to 3 days. I said, in 3 days, you'll be saying, and he will not go with his car because the car will not change him. And the man was bragging, an old student of the school. Not the guy, blah, blah. Have you listen to me? When you stretch, a child of God is stretched and he makes a pronouncement. You are still there making jege because you have not been stretched to a point you can make that utterance from heaven. The utterance you didn't plan to make. And I said, tell him 3 days. She went back and told the woman. The man got angry. I said, it's too late. The next day, he was not enough doing normal work. Later came, emergency letter came. Transferred to a village. Even the local government map, you can't find that village. They transferred the man. The man got angry, entered his car to go to Teacher Service Commission. At the school gate, the car knocked engine. He took a taser and rushed down there. You have not even got to be straight. When men persecute you to a point that you don't know what to say, when men accuse you of things you didn't do, and you can't defend it, that is stretched. They lie against you. You know you didn't do it. They know you didn't do it. But because you are helpless, and you say, God, how can I answer? How can I respond? You have unsolid, sorted up, boom, out of your belly. The man got there. They said, before we do anything, first of all, go and report. Within Ogun State, too. It took him 3 days to go and report. 3 days. When Bible saw the one, they say, I saw them coming. I recognized the man. I believe as if I don't know him. Say, want to see pastor. They say he's here. He came with his wife and the physics teacher. I said, sit down, let's finish Bible study. He said, sit down, let's finish Bible study. After I finish, he said, we want to see, sir. He said, I'm the principal of your wife's school. Your wife is the chemistry teacher. I said, He said, I have a problem. So I said, what is the problem? He said, I have a little misunderstanding with your wife. Little. I said, He said, but only you can help me, sir. I said, He said, I was transferred. He mentioned the name of the place. As he was told that, the wife knelt down. Physics teacher, head teacher, knelt down. He said, Pastor, we just came to beg you, forgive us. I said, what have you put on? The man couldn't say it. He was stammering. He said, where they transferred me to, sir? The day my car knock engine. I said, I know you knock engine, because I said it. He was looking at me. He said, when I got going there, he said, he left home by 7. He got 11:30 p.m. I said, how manage? He said, the vehicle that took him dropped in one junction. There was nothing living in the junction apart from trees. He said, wait here. I'm quoting him. He said, anything that comes, just enter. Say, they will carry you to the river bank. Then you wait there. Canoe. The man said, go to the bridge around 11:30. They took him to the house of the Bale, the village head, to sleep. He entered canoe, he entered motorcycle. He trekked. When the canoe dropped him, he said, now, you know when the Nigerians are wicked in describing things, so very terrible. He said, when he drop you, you'll go, then turn. The man said, by the time he got there, the whole place was dark. He went to take him to the Bale's house where he slept. The next day, he got to the school. By 12 o'clock, he had not seen anybody, not even the teacher. And after 12, he just saw one man coming in. Say, ah, what are you doing here? He said, I'm the new principal. Say, ah, welcome, sir. Say, what about the VP? I don't think he's coming this week, sir. What about your students? Students, they come whenever they like. The man said he burst into tears. By then, the wife and the feet were kneeling down. Stretch! Persecuted, but yet not defeated. That's why I say, what shall separate us from his love? There's a realm you get to. Any word you speak, manifest. That was the realm that Hannah got to. When she cried, she didn't know when church service was ended. This one, some of you came, you sat by the door because you are going before service end. So you stay there watching Dr. Ben and Pastor K. When you just open and just escape. When the bridegroom is taken, you will fast. Fast. Have you seen where you are in such a situation that you don't know when you compose the song? You don't know when you compose the song. Hallelujah. Are you following me here, church? Can you imagine? Look at Peter. Peter, a professional fisherman, an expert in fishing. But if God wants to bring the best out of you, he makes your professionalism useless. Peter knows the best time when fishes come out. He has been doing it for many years. But on this day, he went as usual. Did his best. Everything did his best. And no fish came, except sticks and frog. He tried till he got tired. He said, let us wash our nets and begin to go home. Watch this. They're washing their net when Jesus came. Can I use your boat for some few minutes? Peter said, with all pleasure, after all, the boat is useless. Use it. So Peter went to sit down. What was happening to Peter? His patience was being tried. Will he hurry Jesus to quickly give me my boat? I'm tired after I've caught nothing all night. Stretch. Peter, was he listening to Jesus? I don't think so. Because he was frustrated enough to be grumbling, to be murmuring. I've been doing this. I gave you my boat. You are not even in a hurry. You are even giving out a call after preaching. And you want to take testimony to an offering. And I'm here waiting. Peter just stretched. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his lips. What you say when you are stretched determine what you get. Will you grumble? Will you complain? Will you murmur? Will you remind God of all your offerings and tithe you have paid and nothing to show? And after Jesus finished, he got up. He looked at Peter. I said, Peter, stretch, put your net here and catch fishes. Why? Peter passed the test. He passed the test. Put your net here and catch fish. Peter said, don't you understand? We toil all night and caught nothing. Then the other said, nevertheless. Let me interpret nevertheless. Not minding my situation. Not minding what I see. Not minding the mockers who are telling me I've wasted 24 hours. Not minding the mockers who are telling me you have wasted years following Pastor K and Dr. Ben. Nevertheless, I will do it. That means Peter dropped his credentials. He dropped his experience. He dropped those things he has learned, things he has taught him. He dropped them to try that which he thinks will not work. Nevertheless, I wish you can forget your situation for a moment. Forget what you are going through for a moment and tell God, nevertheless. And when Peter did it, he caught many fishes. Not only many fishes, his boat could not contain it. When you are stretched to that level, know one thing, that God is about to use you as a model, as a showcase. I don't think Dr. Ben and Pastor K brought out this team for joke. They brought out this team not because they know English dictionary, but because there is somebody in the house who has been processed and tried, and your time of harvest has come. Oh God. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, let me just tie some stuff here. Am I blessing you here tonight? Nevertheless, not minding my situation, I want to dance. One thing I've taught them in church. The day the devil tells you are broke, do thanksgiving. Any day the devil tells you are broke, get to say, Pastor, I'm having a thanksgiving. He say, why? The devil just reminded me I can't be broke. Because if really you are broke, the devil will not tell you. So the devil will tell you you are broke when he know you are so close to your blessing. And one thing that will trigger the manifestation is thanksgiving. If you are the son of God, turn these things to bread. Devil, you don't need to tell me. I am the son of God. When I need bread, I will call for bread. Not to tell me. Each time the devil tells you, you have an incredible sickness, go to the hospital, go and pray for those of them, they say they are sick. Start laying hands. Say, I'm going for hospital evangelism. And you are shaking. Yes, we are shaking together. It's part of the anointing. It's the Holy Ghost. I've told them again and again, each time you hear any voice say to you, you are broke, do thanksgiving. You ever say you are poor, that means there's a destiny on your head that you'll be prosperous. Do thanksgiving for it. Don't let the devil deceive you. He doesn't have the power over your destiny. He's not licensed to control you. And that you must understand. Praise God. Am I blessing you? Let me close you here. I think I love this story. John chapter 6. I will close you here. Media, let's do it together. Can you clap for the media, please? Praise God. Are you following me? John chapter 6. We read from... Okay, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Yes, let's make it fast. And a great multitude followed him. Great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Yes. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that this may eat? And this he said to prove him, for himself knew what he would do. Now, one thing I want to tell you, anytime God asks you a question, don't be quick to tell him what your biology teacher taught you. Don't be quick to quote physics or what medical doctors told you. Don't be quick to quote. He was asking them, where shall we get bread? He said, because he knows what to do. Am I talking to you? So before God asked, that's why I like Ezekiel. God said to Ezekiel, can this dry bone live? He looked, he said, now you know. I think Ezekiel is from Edo State. Now you know. He said, God. Very intelligent man. Ezekiel, shall this boy? Ezekiel looks at God. Now you know. Anyone you talk, are you correct? If you say they go live, they go live. If you say they go die, they go die. Now you know. God now say, now you say. Let's go back to John Media so that we can tie it up. And when Jesus then, where are we? What verse are we? Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, go on. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter, brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 belly loaves of bread and 2 fishes. But what is that to all these people? Let me help you. You see, when that man came, he said, Jesus, even if you take 2 months salary, it's not enough. He's not talking for them, he's talking for himself. Say, so even if you have that amount, let us first of all eat. We disciples. Then somebody came and said, there is a lad there with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Then he said, but what is that to all this crowd? That means instead of giving this crowd, let disciples. Are you following me here? But now watch. Where are we? Let's watch now. The next verse. And Jesus said unto them, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples. The disciples gave it to them that sat down. And likewise of the fishes and of as much as they would. You know this, don't you know the story? Now watch this. Disciples come. Watch this. It won't go around. I'm sure you know that one. Now, I now gave the disciples. Now, the disciples give it to, they're all hungry. Yes. There is a temptation to take some first. But they say, give them. So they subdued their own hunger to feed the hungry. They were hungry. Jesus didn't say, take your own first and eat. Because they've been with Jesus for days. Those ones only came to join Jesus for 3 days. They've been with Jesus for days. They've not eaten. Now, I used to have even my current driver that brought me. They are very wonderful people. There was one that used to drive me before. He knows if I travel, I can preach. Before they bring food, I'm gone. So I don't eat. So what he does, he will buy bread and akara, put under the car seat. So when I'm inside preaching, he's eating. So when I come out, he behaves as if not we are the same. Until one day when I enter the car, I say, something is smelling. He said, nothing, sir. Are you following me here? Now, because Jesus, oftentimes we forget to eat. And the disciples will not be able to ask him, Master, we are hungry. Now, this is an opportunity for them to eat. Yeah. And he gave them, he said, if you touch it, go and give them. And they went round, began to give them in obedience. They were hungry, but they were feeding people. The Bible says, at the end of the day, they gathered the remnant. They got 12 baskets. How many disciples were with Jesus? 12. Hold it. Let me help you. He stretched their hunger so that when they see food, they can't eat again. That you don't have cloth, don't borrow to show off. You have been prepared to distribute clothes later.
to where, if you borrow to where, you hinder your next level.
Let them call you brother, one trouser, sister, one skirt. Enjoy the fun. You are being stretched. Because a time is coming, you will ask them, which car should I use today? Which shoe am I to wear? What suit am I to wear? You begin to find out, which one should I use? They got 12. Is it a coincidence, Dr. Ben, that they got 12 baskets? So what we just, gentlemen, you say you have been hungry? Now eat. One basket each. And they ate, they couldn't finish it. He said, give the remaining one to the boy that gave us the first seed. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I doing? What? Look, I can go on and on, stretch. Have you been hungry? You are seeing food, you can't eat it, and you are giving somebody. You have been prepared to turn your house into a storehouse where all types of food, all types of materials will be there. Can I give you one example? Joseph was so, sit down, gentlemen. Joseph was so stretched, man of God. All he had was one coat. Come on, Angoli. Angoli has many color. One coat of many color. Watch this. One. And these men, get up, blind to the future, were envying him for having one. They now say, okay, we shall see what shall become of you. And what is their problem? Coat. They took the coat and tore it and say he's dead. They thought they've succeeded. You envy a man that has one, unknown to you. You're removing that one. You are preparing her to have plenty. Watch it. Hold on. In years to come, when they came back to Egypt, he gave them many clues. He loaded their bags with clothes and silver. He said, take it and take your money. You took one. I'm giving you plenty. Stretched. He didn't fight back. Who told you we'd die in poverty? Don't tell her cloth, because I like that cloth. Who told you we die in shame? Who told you your enemies will laugh last? How dare you? You have been prepared for greatness. So tell your enemies, hold your peace. I am coming. By the time they saw Joseph, they don't know what to do. They couldn't say anything. They left him. I am your brother. The one you took is coat of many color. Now I have wardrobes. Many colors. And they couldn't talk. I want to pray tonight. Did I bless you? I want to pray tonight. Tomorrow, 9 o'clock. I've tested this God. I found him faithful. Find this God faithful. Can you please stand on your feet? The word still works. Tomorrow we go deeper. The word still works. Stretched. Have you seen somebody abuse you? You would think he was there when your mother was giving birth to you. If some women abuse their husband here, they start their abuse from the naming ceremony day. From the naming ceremony. You would think they were there when they were naming the man. That's where they start their abuse from. And if you go and check what they are saying, they are correct. I don't know how women got those information about their husband. They will just start it from Genesis of the man's life. See, you that was, they gave birth to you, and you run into a bicycle. You think I forget? Were you there?
Why they laugh like that, Tony? Have you seen people abuse you? You know what to say, but you didn't say anything. When God wants to make you a king to some people, he made them abuse you. He made them insult your present status. Tonight you are going to pray one prayer. Lift up your hands. Judges 2:16. Let me do one prayer. Judges 2:16. Let me have it on the screen. Judges 2:16. Just one prayer. Judges 2:16. Shall we read it together? Judges 2:16. Read it. Hold on. Read it loud. One to go. Raise up judges. We deliver them out of the hand. One prayer. Father, deliver me out of whatever is spoiling my destiny. Whatever is spoiling my life, Father, deliver me from it. Can you pray with all your heart in Jesus' name? Lift up your voice and pray that prayer. Whatever that God should deliver you. Whatever. Spoilers of destiny, they're everywhere. Spoilers of destiny. Spoilers of destiny, they're everywhere. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray against every spoilers of your destiny. Those that come like your friends, but they are your enemies. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. You are stressed. And you know what to say, but you said nothing. You know what to do, but you did nothing. Not because you're a coward, but because of what God is preparing you for. Lift up that voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray? Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and talk to God. Every spoiler of my destiny, Father, deliver me out of their hands. Every spoiler of my destiny. Lift up your voice and talk to Him. Lift up your voice and talk to Him. Lift up your voice and talk to Him. Pray. Every spoiler, every spoiler, every spoiler. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Can you pray? Can you pray? There are 10 persons here. God wants to hear your voice. God wants to hear your voice. There are 10 persons here. God wants to hear your voice. 10 persons. Lift up your voice. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.